trusting, fully trusting in the Savior's love, and doing what I can for heaven's holy dove. Oh, I'm getting ready to leave this world. Yes, I'm getting ready to leave this world of sorrow. I'm getting ready for the gates of pearl. Yes, I'm keeping
my record,
and I'm watching, and I'm getting ready to leave this world. And trusting in the riches of His saving grace, and any earthly trial I His love can trace, and sure that up in heaven I shall find a place. For I'm getting ready to leave this world. Yes, I'm getting ready to leave this world of sorrow. I'm getting ready for the gates of pearl. Yes, I'm keeping
my record.
Yes, I'm watching
both day and night.
I'm getting ready to leave this world and to prepare a mansion. Jesus said, I'll go. And if it were not true, I would have told you so. And it's just a little while to linger here below. So I'm getting ready to leave this world. Yes, I'm getting ready to leave this world of sorrow. I'm getting ready for the gates of pearl. Yes, I'm keeping
my record
and I'm watching
both day and night.
Oh, I'm getting ready to leave
this
world. Oh, yes, I'm getting ready to leave this world of sorrow. I'm getting ready for the gates of pearl. Yes, I'm keeping
my record.
Oh, I'm watching
both day and night.
Yes, I'm getting ready to leave this world and trusting in the riches of His saving grace. And in each earthly trial I His love can trace, and sure that up in heaven I shall find a place. For I'm getting ready to leave this world. Yes, I'm getting ready
to leave this world.
Yes, I'm getting ready for the gates of pearl. Yes, I'm keeping
my record.
Oh, I'm watching
both day and night.
Yes, I'm getting ready to leave this world. Yes, I'm getting ready to leave this world of sorrow. I'm getting ready
for the gates
of pearl. Yes, I'm keeping
my record.
Oh, yes, I'm watching
both day and night.
And I'm getting ready to leave this world and to prepare a mansion. Jesus said,
oh, yes,
and if it were not true, I would have told you so. And it's just a little while to linger here below. So I'm getting ready
to come on and sing this world.
Yes,
I'm getting ready to leave this world
of sorrow.
I'm getting ready for the gates
of pearl. Yes, I'm keeping
my record right.
And I'm watching
both day and night.
Yes, I'm getting ready.
I'm getting ready to leave this world. Are you ready to go? Are you getting ready? That's what I really want to know. Are you getting ready to leave this world? What a day. What a day that's going to be, friend. I can hardly wait. I'm excited. I'm excited. Do you want miracles in your life is my question today. This is, by the way, Resurrection Weekend. Jesus arose from the dead late at the beginning of the Sabbath, which is late today. Sundown is the beginning of the old-fashioned Jewish Sabbath, and they still celebrate it like that. But I want to tell you, friend, Jesus arose, and that's all that counts. It's Saturday, but Sunday's coming. Could you say that with me? It's Saturday, but Sunday's coming. Hallelujah. Oh, that's exciting. That's plain exciting. I am excited. Hallelujah. I really am excited for a lot of reasons. Now, I'm going to talk to you today about the miracle working power, the mountain moving power of faith. The mountain moving power of faith. Do you have faith in the risen Lord? Do you really believe that Jesus came out of that tomb on that special day? Do you really live by the value and the power of that resurrection? Do you? If you don't, you can. Because I'm telling you, he is alive, and he is alive forevermore. And I have the light stone of the sanctuary behind me, because tomorrow is that special resurrection day when we celebrate the life of Jesus Christ. The life of Jesus Christ. I'm preaching tomorrow on this message, running, because the Lord has risen. Running because the Lord has risen. Remember how the women who came early to the tomb ran, the Bible says, ran to take the message to the disciples. And you remember how they ran to get to the tomb to see if indeed he was risen. And remember Peter and another disciple ran together, and the other disciple outran Peter and got to the tomb first. But Peter ran in. I think Peter passed the other man at the door while the other man was standing there. Peter just went right on in. But running because the Lord has risen from the grave. Risen from the dead would be better. Listen, friend, it's a joy to bring you such a broadcast today. All over the world, telling the world that it's Saturday, but Sunday's coming. It's Saturday, but Sunday's coming. Scream that to somebody. It's Saturday, but Sunday's coming. I'm here to tell you, friend, we are living in a wonderful faith, this faith of Jesus Christ. You may not enjoy it, but I enjoy every day of my faith. And I have done so for 67 plus years now. I've enjoyed this faith. Never forget being converted at the age of 16. And I didn't get halfway converted. I got all the way converted. I got totally turned upside down. I got totally changed. I'm here to tell you, I got totally changed. It was a marvel thing to me, and I look back with great joy. Now, do you want miracles in your life? I want to hear from you. Do you want miracles in your life? Do you understand that miracles are as natural to God as a goose going barefooted, if you can understand that country language? It is natural to God to do miracles. It's natural for you to be natural. For God, it's natural for him to be supernatural. He doesn't have to try to be supernatural. He is supernatural. Every phase of his being is supernatural. Everything about him is supernatural. Do you understand that, my dear friend? Everything about him is supernatural. And when you begin to think about that and realize that, it ought to turn your life upside down. It does mine. Every day my life gets turned upside down. I was here this morning at a little bit before 6 to pray. And I'm telling you, entered the sanctuary, and it was already filled with the presence of the Spirit of God. A real house, a real church, a real house of God with a real altar that is an extension of the heavenly altar is a place of dynamic power. I don't care what you think and what anybody tells you, the house of God is the most wonderful place to pray on the face of this earth. It is the most wonderful place to pray. And if you do not go to God's house and get in that altar and pray, you're missing something that would turn your life upside down. And I pray that will get a hold of you. I'm finding people are very resistant against that. They'd rather pray, I don't know whether they want to be right beside their wife or right beside, I don't know what the problem is. I can't answer, but I know what the truth of it is, and that is you go to God's house, and he's going to turn things around for you. He's going to turn them upside down for you. And I'm so excited about what God is doing that I could rejoice every day over and over and over. Praise God for his goodness. Now, we're going to talk about, do you want a miracle in your life? But let's go beyond that. The mountain moving faith of the Christian walk. The mountain, notice that mountain moving faith. Did you know that Jesus said, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you could say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and it shall be done. You say, Brother Chambers, now I don't know nobody has that kind of faith. All right, you study church history. That's always been the result of every great awakening, that faith became so dynamic that marvelous things began to happen, marvelous miracles began to happen. Angels started appearing. All kinds of supernatural things began to occur. Anytime there's been a genuine awakening in the church, when there's a move of God's Holy Spirit, God's Shekinah often appears like blue Shekinah, filling the sanctuary with heavenly smoke. I'm telling you, I've been there. I know what it is. And it is grand beyond my ability to describe it. And I'm believing for it. I was praying this morning. The Bible says in the book of Jude, and we'll go there in a little bit. It says, earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Now, I am contending. I contended with God this morning. I went straight to the throne with him by the blood of Jesus, by the veil of the temple, which is Christ's sacred divine body. And I had communion with him. And I communed with God and cried out, God, we must have that faith that was once delivered to the saints. And I'm counting it as ours by faith. I'm counting it as ours. And I wanted to get a hold of you. I really do. Now, let's go to Mark chapter 11. We're going to get into some wonderful things today, and I hope in the middle of it now we'll have calls. We've had two people each of the last 2 weeks to call and get right with God on the broadcast. Repent and give their hearts to Christ and experience his grace. They said they did. People called here from everywhere in the world. We have calls from Hong Kong. We have calls from African countries. We have calls from India. We have calls from Australia. We have calls from just anywhere in the world. They can hear me on Facebook and Internet. Facebook, Internet, anywhere in the world. Not just hear me, but see me. Wouldn't that be very exciting to anybody? That's okay. I'm not worried about it. I just want you to hear the truth. I just want you to hear the truth. Now, Mark, chapter 11. Oh, you got your Bible? I really want you to get this. I'm not just sitting here talking. I'm trying to get it to you. Now, let me tell you, while you're turning in your Bible to Mark 11, I'm preaching tonight on the streets of Charlotte in front of the library, the main library. That's about two blocks east of Central Town, of Central Square. About two blocks east on Tryon Street, Main Street, right in front of the main library. That's where we'll be. And I'm preaching at 7 o'clock, 7 o'clock tonight. And I want people from all over Charlotte to come and be there with me, spread out on those streets as people are passing by. You can witness. You can encounter, talk with somebody. You may have somebody who wants you to pray with them. We'll have an altar call, and I'm going to take oil so we can anoint and pray for the sick. I mean, we're just going to be there to have something special for people in Charlotte. I am burdened for this city. I am burdened for Charlotte to have an awakening. I'm burdened because we have so much liberalism that's moving in and taking over. Unbelief, hatred for the gospel, hatred for Jesus, hatred for anything conservative, hatred for the president, hatred for anything that's right and decent about this nation. That's what we're getting. And so only God can change that. Only God can change that. And I'm giving it all I've got to see it changed. I'm here to tell you, I'm giving it all I got to see it changed. And let's go to the Bible now, Mark 11. And he taught saying, listen now, and he, that's Jesus, taught saying unto any man, he taught saying unto them, is it not written? Listen now, he taught them saying, is it not written, my house shall be called a house of prayer. Of all nations, a house of prayer. Now listen, my house shall be called, of all nations, a house of prayer. Now I want to proclaim right now that this church is a house of prayer for the whole city. This church is a house of prayer for the whole city. We come in here at 6 o'clock every morning, 7 days a week, and pray. Seek, crying out to God, crying out to his mercies and powers. And you are more than welcome to come and pray with us. Do you hear me? You're more than welcome to come and pray with us. I'll have to teach you which door to come in, so just come. If you come and don't know where to go, knock on the window. We'll come and meet you at this front door here on the west side. And we'll teach you how to get in and out on the mornings. Our child care is open by 7, and my child care worker is usually here in prayer with me by 6 o'clock. Plus other men of the church. And so don't miss coming if you want to be part of a praying church. You want to be part of a great outpouring. Now, let me say this again. I'm reading to you. And he taught, saying unto them, is it not written? He put, is it not? Because this is in the Old Testament too. My house shall be called of all nations, universal. See, Jesus was prophesying of the power of his coming church. He's prophesying of what this gospel is going to do. He's prophesying of the church becoming a place of great power and a house of prayer for all nations, not just for Jerusalem, where he was then talking, but all nations, a house of prayer, a house of prayer. But you have made it a den of thieves. Is that not what's happened to the church today? A bunch of religious thieves stealing from you what is so wonderful in this gospel message. And the scribes and Pharisees heard it and sought how they might destroy him. Oh, they wanted to kill him. They hated him. Oh, they hated how they might destroy him. For they feared him because of the people and were astonished at his doctrine. Because the people were astonished at his doctrine. And when evening was come, he went out of the city. And in the morning, the next morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. Now, let me tell you that right above the verses I started reading, Jesus had passed by a fig tree. And he went over to the fig tree to get some figs to eat off the fig tree. And there was no fruit. So Jesus cursed that fig tree. He actually put a curse of death on that fig tree. And so the next morning, as the scripture here says, and in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. They saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. Now you hear that, don't you? And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou curseth, it's withered away. I mean, Peter was overwhelmed by this sight of a fig tree that Jesus had cursed the night before, and it had withered up from the roots. I mean, it was dead. It was when Jesus killed something, it's dead. When Jesus curses something, it's dead. You live like a devil, and you blaspheme against him, and the day comes when he literally rejects you and turns you over to a reprobate mind, you're gone. You're done for, friend. You're just over. You're just over. You're done for. No question about it. No question about it. Jesus answering saith unto them. Listen now. Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. Listen, that's such a simple statement. Have faith in God. I love that. I love that. Have faith in God. For verily, now you got to hear this. For verily I say unto you, that whatsoever thou shalt say unto this mountain. Wait a minute. Let me go back and read this better. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, shall not doubt in his heart. Whosoever shall say to this mountain. Now we're talking about a mountain. 1,000 feet high, 500 feet high. I don't know how high the mountain he may have been pointing to, but it wasn't no little bit of hill. It was a mountain. He said, whosoever shall say to that mountain, be thou cast into the sea and shall not doubt. Oh, I'm claiming that faith. I'm claiming this faith. Do you want a miracle? Do you want miracles in your life? Well, faith is the door. Of course, Jesus at the head of that faith. It can't just be faith. It's got to be Christ-centered faith. It's got to be Christ-obeying faith. It's got to be Christ-committed faith. He's got to be at the center of your faith, not your faith, but his faith in you. That's the secret right there. His faith in you. His faith taking possession of you. His faith overwhelming your life. But shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Now you're looking at a man that's pursuing the faith that was once delivered to the saints. This is the picture of the faith that Jude talked about when he said the faith that was once delivered to the saints. That early church was a dynamo. That early church turned the world upside down. Remember when Paul went up to the area of the Turkish mountains over past Turkey now, over there in the area of Asia Minor? You remember when he went over there and they said to him, they that have turned the world upside down have come hither also. Remember those words? This is what they said of Paul and his cohorts, those working with him. Those that have turned the world upside down have come hither also. Now, where are we? I'm ashamed of the church. I'm ashamed of my life. I've not been as much as I've had a lot of miracles. I've seen cancers disappear. I've seen gorgeous leave necks. I've seen some wonderful miracles in my life beyond anything I'm worthy of. There wasn't because of me. I don't get an ounce of credit. Don't want an ounce of credit. I want the Lord to get the credit, okay? But I'm telling you, we haven't seen nothing to what we could see. I was saved in this faith that had depleted and lost its greatness, and it was better then than it is now. I remember when I got saved in a Pentecostal church, it was pretty much on fire. The miracles were happening. It was already declining. It was already coming downward. It was already on the backside, and I didn't know that then. I loved what I found. I loved it so much, I gave everything I had to it. I didn't want anything but this new faith, this new Bible, believing people, this wonderful Pentecostal blessing, this outpouring of the sweet Holy Spirit. Most Pentecostal churches now don't even believe in the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. They don't even believe in old-fashioned sanctification. They don't even believe in the great things of this Bible. It's amazing to me how this has occurred. But I'm telling you, it's as real as it's ever been. It's as real as it's ever been. You'll never convince this preacher that it's anything less than exactly what this book says. It's right here, just like Jesus said. It is plain. It cannot be changed. Now, let me read on. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that thou shalt receive them, and ye shall have them. Now, I'm talking to you about mountain-moving faith. Mountain move in faith. I'm going to take the oil with me to Main Street tonight when I preach. Have it in my pocket. So if anybody wants prayer for their body, we can pray for them right up there in front of the library. If anybody needs a miracle, we're going up there believing for miracles. I've got a message to preach already on my heart. I'm excited about it. I announced it on Facebook. I'm going to preach on the one thing God don't know. The one thing God does not know. You don't want to miss it. You don't want to miss it. Maybe somebody will tweet it. I don't know. Maybe somebody will stream it. I don't know. I'm not going to ask for that. I'm just going up there to preach to them people on the street because I want to see miracles. I want to see miracles. I want to see. I mean, I'm tired of the church world being in such infancy. I am tired of the church world being nothing but a bunch of spiritual babies. I'm tired of a church world that has no anointing and no power. It's more, Pentecost is more emotion than anything else today. But there's going to be a change, and it's coming. And there are some folks praying, and not just here. I know some others. I know some others. I know Brother Davy Boggs was a different man when he just left here from revival, when he came and when he left. I know that Kenny Morris is a powerful, dynamic man preaching the same thing. I'm telling you today that revival is coming. Holy Ghost awakening is coming. I'm believing. I don't know that it will be here before the rapture, but I know it will be here either before or right after, because revival is coming and multitudes are going to get saved. And you can have a miracle in your life if you want it, if you got to want it, and you got to pay the price. The price is surrender. Just give God all you are. That's all you got to do. Give God all you are. Quit putting on a farce. Become real. Give God everything. Turn your life over to Him. Learn to pray and seek the face of God. We need people that pray hours, not minutes. We got enough people praying 10 minutes and 5 minutes. And we got enough people praying like I don't know what to say, modern religion, I guess. But I'm telling you, when you start praying like an old-fashioned man, sobbing, seeking God, crying out aloud, hallelujah, we know not how to pray as we ought, Paul said. We know not how to pray as well. But the Spirit itself helpeth us. And He, the Holy Spirit, maketh prayer for us, through us, using our voice, but using His language. And He prays in such sobbing and such power. And the Bible says His prayers are according to the will of God, and they're mighty. And I'm telling you, we're depending on them. We're believing in them. And we believe we're going to see the result of them. And we want you to see it with us. We want nobody excluded. We want every church in Charlotte to have a Holy Ghost revival. We want First Baptist and First Presbyterian. Nobody, Myers Park Baptist. I mean, it don't matter. We want everybody to have a revival. We want to see a rising of the tide of Christianity to the level of the Bible, to the New Testament level. We want to see people getting right with God, getting healed from their sicknesses, and delivered from their demons. Yes, demons. They are infesting our world today. Demons are infesting America. You say, I don't believe in demons. Well, look at the Democrat Party if you want to see demons. Look at the world of sodomy and you want to see demons. Look at the world of lesbianism if you want to see demons. Look at the world of the transvestite crowd if you want to see demons. They are everywhere, but they're not just there. They and people who fornicate and adulterers. They're just everywhere, liars and cheaters and stealers. You know, we are living in the day that we desperately need a Holy Ghost revival, and it is coming. Mountain moving faith. Woo! Mountain moving faith. Oh, I tell you, I hadn't read all of this. Let me get back to it. Hallelujah. I want to go back. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, whatsoever things you desire. What do you desire? How many of you need a miracle? How many of you need to be healed? How many of you need a deliverance of some kind? How many of you got children that are just bound by demons and powers of hell? How many of you got boys and girls that are becoming lesbians and homosexuals and sodomites? How many of you have got all these things going on with your children, your families, your loved ones? It's everywhere. Oh, man, is it everywhere. But you can pray a hole through the sky. You can pray a hole through the sky. I'm going to read that again. Therefore, I say unto you, I'm talking to you, every one of you. Listen to me, sir. You say, I don't believe in miracles. Well, I feel sorry for you. Because I tell you right now, you can't believe the Bible and not believe in miracles. It's a miracle book. You can't believe in the resurrection if you don't believe in miracles. How you think Jesus came out of that grave? He was beat until he was nothing but a whipped, terrible. His body was ripped apart. His skin was hanging off like rags. He looked like a dying man when they hung him on the cross. He would have died if he had been subject to human flesh, but he was divine. He couldn't die till he wanted to die. Till he chose to die. He gave up his spirit when he was ready to die. Remember that? He said to the Father, I commend my spirit. He couldn't die till he chose to die. Because it was a divine body in which he was in which he entered, in which he possessed. A divine body. Hallelujah. And when he died, the mountains shook, the rocks broke apart. The veil in the temple rent asunder. It was one breathtaking moment when that Son of God died, my friend. It was the greatest event of human history. It was it was his death. No, it was his death and resurrection together. One of them without the other would have been impossible and of no value. His blood, yes, was an atonement for sin. But the Bible says we're justified by his resurrection. Justified by his resurrection. The Bible says it. All right, I believe everything in that book. How about you? So, oh, man, I'm having such a time here, I can hardly get past what I'm saying. And when you stand praying, forgive. How many of you got people you just can't forgive? I'm always got somebody around this church that won't forgive me. They get some old crazy thing in their mind. I'm thinking of somebody right now. I don't understand. I don't understand what's wrong with this person. But they just can't forgive. People treat a pastor, if he don't kowtow with them, you know what the word kowtow means. If he don't kowtow with them, if he don't come under subjection to them, they despise him. Oh, yeah, I've got somebody like that right now. But they can't do a thing. All they do is make noise and act crazy. They'll get over it, hopefully, pray through. And when you pray, forgive. If you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. I'm telling you, we live in a tough day. We live in a hard day. It ain't easy. I'm as gentle as I can be. But sometimes I need a little more fire, I guess, to say, stop it, stop it, stop it. And I will at some point, I promise you. But I'm telling you, friend, we are living in such a day. If ever we needed a move of God, we are desperate for a great move of God. Now, you see what's above my head. Do you want miracles in your life? Do you want miracles in your life? Do you want miracles in your life? Do you? Answer me, please. Do you want miracles in your life? Well, here it is. When you pray, asking whatever the Bible has promised. You can't get anything but what's in the book. It's got to be according to the book. It's got to be according to God's promises to your life. Oh, I love His Word. Let me quote you something. Psalms division 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Listen to those words. And forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all of thine iniquities, who healeth all of thy diseases. Listen to that. Who forgiveth all of your iniquities, who healeth all your diseases, who delivers you from destruction, who crowns you with blessings. Let me read that exact word. Listen here. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercy, who feedeth thee, listen to this, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like an eagle. Great day. You know why people live longer lives than holy, godly people live longer lives than wicked people? The Bible says the man who lives in sin takes 1 day, 2 days for every one. Every day you live in sin, living like the devil, living like he wants you to live, you're taking 2 days off your life. 1 year is 2 years. If you start living like that at 16, by the time you get 26, your physical body is 36. By the time you get 36, your physical body is then 56. By the time you get 46, your body is then 76. Did you hear that? 76. That's why people are dying so young. I hadn't been to a funeral in so long where anybody was younger than I. I can't even remember the last one that I went to, that the person who died was older than me. You know, people are dying at such a terrible age. Don't have to be that way. Don't have to be that way. You can live a godly life, and I promise you, He will add longevity to your life. The Bible even says that if you honor your mother and father, your parents, that God will give you long life here on this earth. Did you know the Bible said that? There's wonderful promises in the Bible about longevity of life, the beauty of longevity of life. Well, I'm just telling you that you can have your prayers answered and you can have miracles in your life. Now, I want to go to Jude because this is such a powerful verse. And this is, you know who Jude is, I guess. How many of you know who Jude is? Jude is a half-brother of Jesus, a half-brother of Jesus. He was born of Joseph and Mary. The mother of Jesus, who had Jesus by the Holy Ghost, never knew a man before Jesus was born. Then she was married after, well, maybe already married, togetherness, no intimacy until after Jesus was born. And then, of course, they became as husband and wife. And James and Jude both were brothers, half-brothers of Jesus. And so this little small book that Jude wrote is quite amazing. I really do love this book. It says in verse 3, Beloved, when I give all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation. Brethren, I give all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation. It was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you. Jude is saying, I'm writing to you of the common salvation, and it's needful for me to exhort you. I'm fixing to teach you something. I'm fixing to exhort you. That means correct you and teach you and put you in order. That's what it means. So Jude was putting the church in order. He was putting the believers in order. And what does he say to them? Now, this is less than 100 years, somewhere maybe 40, 50 years after Jesus was resurrected. And he says to them, It is needful that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. Departure would already begun. They were doing more hanging out with somebody than hanging out with God. They was doing more running around having a fleshly entertainment than having entertainment in the Holy Ghost. They had depleted their lives because of their prayerlessness. And always, always, nothing will deplete you like prayerlessness. It will take the life out of you. If you just pray little old penny ante prayers, You'll never get on your knees and pray like James said, the effectual, fervent, red hot, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Our church world is full of them. Oh, they're getting mad at me. Preachers are getting bothered at me because I've been crying out about this prayer. I've been crying out about Christians getting back on their faces. I've been crying out about Christians spending hours in prayer, not minutes. Hours in prayer on their face, praying till the Holy Ghost comes in power. Let me listen to Jude. Listen to Jude. But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Can I tell you something? You will never come to faith. Great faith. I'm talking about this dynamic faith. I'm talking about this faith once delivered to the saints. You'll never come to it but by the power of the Holy Spirit. There's got to be a dynamic abandonment of yourselves to the power and force and prayer of the Holy Ghost. You've got to learn to pray till the Holy Ghost takes over your prayer life. You need more anointing to pray than you need to preach, preachers. You need more anointing to pray than you need to preach. And if you try to preach without the anointing of prayer, your preaching will be without anointing also. You may make it loud. You may shout and hoop and holler. You may put on a show, but it won't transform lives. I'm trying to tell you. But when you are full of the Holy Ghost and he can take charge of you, you will turn things upside down wherever you go. You know what they told me when I first got saved and started preaching? They said, if you go to a town, you must have either a revival or you must have a, they said, what do they call it? Wow, I forgot the word. When you go to town, either you must have a revival or you must have a riot or a revival. A real man of God goes to a place to preach. He'll either have a riot or he'll have a revival. And that's the way it ought to be. I mean, people get angry when you really go to digging them up, stirring them up. And I know I'm dealing with it. They get angry. They don't want you to deal with their prayer life. They don't want you to deal with their personal prayer life, they call it. You leave me alone. I pray like I want to, when I want to, how I want to, when I get ready. Leave me alone. Well, I don't leave them alone. We're going to have a Holy Ghost awakening at this church. I'm promising we're going to have a Holy Ghost awakening. If you want to be part of a great move of God, here's the place to come and join us in prayer every morning, 7 days a week, 6 o'clock. 6 o'clock, I challenge you. I challenge you. I want Paul Creek to become a house of prayer for all of this area. And that's what I'm praying for. Then I want them to take it back to their churches and have the same thing in their churches. I don't want some uniqueness here that doesn't spread. No. I'm not selfish. I want God to move. And all I want is God to be glorified. And I want an outpouring of God's Holy Ghost. And it's coming. I don't have any doubt. I've already been praying too long, too hard, too devoted. Ain't stopping, ain't giving up, ain't slowing up, moving on. Every day it seems like the prayer becomes more powerful, more anointed, and God is going to move. And we're praying that the church might once again discover the prayer, the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Are you ready? Are you willing to be part of it? Well, I went on and on. I got so much, I've hardly got started. But let me open the lines, okay? I want you involved. Now, I want to take some calls. I had 2 saved last week and 2 the week before. I'd like to have 4 this week. I really would. So give us a call. We're here to be a blessing to you. I promise you I'm going to put up the phone number and get my button here right. The phone. I have to be so careful. When you move this thing around and you're on the air, all you got to do is click at the wrong place and I'm off the air. Or I'm over, something's going on. And I do it sometimes. And when something happens, don't put the blame on technology. Put the blame on in technology hands. it really is a great game. And it's fun. I love it. 704-391-0588. Now call me right now. I need you to call me. 704-391-0588. If you agree with this, and if you want to become a prayer warrior, if you need miracles in your life and you're willing to get involved with me in the middle of this great business of the Lord, you want to be part of a Holy Ghost move in your church. You may be in Africa. You may be in India. You may be in South America. You may be up in Russia. I don't know where you may be. I get calls from everywhere around the world now. I get messages on the Facebook saying, I'm listening to you in India. I'm listening to you in some little island I never heard of. I have to go find where they're at. Hallelujah. You know, it's really wonderful. I'm overwhelmed by it. Now, let me stop a minute. I am preaching on the Charlotte Street tonight at 7. This is Main Street, uptown, right in front of the main library, which is two blocks from center of town. Two blocks from the center of Tryon Street, right there where Tryon and Trade, I believe, it cross. Then two blocks to the east. And I'll be preaching there in front of the library. We'll be praying for the sick, if anybody's sick. We'll be having an altar call for people to get saved. And I'm going to preach on one thing that God doesn't know. One thing that God doesn't know, okay? Now, give a call. I want to hear from you everywhere, anywhere. You are welcome to call me. I'll do my best to answer you. You are on the air. May I help you, please?
Yeah, good morning. Yeah, can you hear me pretty clear?
Let me get you where I can hear you now.
Oh, yeah. The question I found puzzling, when Jesus Christ was resurrected, and you know,
I'm not able to understand what you're saying. Let me try to get this thing better. Try again real slow.
Okay. When Jesus Christ was resurrected, he was walking on the road with two travelers. I mean, his own disciples, two of them didn't recognize him. And why didn't they recognize Jesus right away?
Why didn't people see him right away? I think you asked me. You see, when Jesus was resurrected, the only people who saw him was those he revealed himself to. He was in a resurrected body. He could appear in a room without the doors open. He was totally invisible to the world, but he was visible to those who he revealed himself to. He was in a glorified body. His body was no longer a mortal body. It was an immortal body. He is the first person that ever came out of the grave with an immortal body. That's why we call him the first fruits of the resurrection. He was the first person of a resurrected body. And so nobody could see him but those to whom he revealed himself. And when he revealed himself to his disciples, remember, they were in a room, the doors were shut, the windows was closed, they're scared to death. And he revealed himself, and he just suddenly showed up in the room. You understand that?
Oh, yes. Okay. Also, is Jesus Christ in heaven, when we see him in heaven, will he still have the wounds from his hands and side in heaven?
You know, I do not. You really, are you on a cell phone, a cordless phone?
Yes.
If you own a cordless phone, that can be really rough on me sometimes, and it depends again on the call you're making, what your connections are. So hang up and call me on a regular phone, because I want to answer your question bad. And all of you out there, give me a call, because I really want to answer questions. The resurrection is a glorious event. I'm preaching on it in the morning, and there's so many things about the resurrection that people never think of, never really realize. And I'm going to the heart of some of those great truths in the morning. And I don't want you to miss them. I really don't. It's overwhelming to think of him raised from the dead like we know occurred. It was the greatest moment in the history of the Almighty God. I mean, nothing ever happened that was more marvelous and wonderful than the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the grave. It was breathtaking. It was breathtaking. I'm telling you, it was breathtaking. And it's overwhelming. So give a call, anybody out there. I've got a booklet I would love to give everybody out there. And it's called Mountain Moving Faith. And it's all about the mighty power of faith. It's not about the resurrection, but I've got wonderful material about the resurrection. And my sermon in the morning will be put on Facebook and Internet Monday morning, somewhere around 10 o'clock. I wish everybody could come and hear that sermon tomorrow. Listen, running because the Christ is risen. Running, that's the name of my sermon. Running because the Christ is risen. And they were excited. Man, were they excited. I've never heard nobody talk about the people running before. And I'm thinking, why in the world? We forget Jerusalem was in an uproar. That place was shook to its foundation. The unbelievers and the religious crowd, well, how are we going to cover this up? How are we going to hide this? If the world finds this out, we're done for. That Jewish church knew if the world accepted the resurrection of Christ, their business was over. Remember the veil in the temple? That great veil, so thick and so powerful that it took a team of oxen pulling each different ways to even about to pull it open. And it was ripped from the top to the bottom. Do you remember that there was a bunch of graves all around Jerusalem that were suddenly opened? I mean, the dirt came out and the people came out. And they didn't just come out. They appeared in Jerusalem and appeared to people and said, hey, I'm Joshua who was in the grave. I'm Abraham. Who, I don't know who they were. The Bible don't tell us the names of them. It just says many of those in the tombs around Jerusalem were raised from the dead. Raised from the dead. Their graves were burst open, the Bible says. Woo! Hallelujah. Folks, we don't understand how really great that resurrection was. I hope I can make it that real in the morning. Man, I hope I can make it so real that nobody will ever forget it. Now grab your phone. Grab your phone. I'm sorry I couldn't hear that, dear man. But it was so distorted. My ears, they're still twiddling. I knew he was talking about the resurrection. I got that much. But give a call, 1-800-338-7884. I want to talk about faith now. I don't want you to ever forget about this faith. And you go read the book of Jude. Just one little book, only 25 verses. But some of the most powerful stuff in this Bible. I mean powerful. Earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. How many of you out there will start praying for that kind of faith? How many of you preachers will start contending for the faith that was once delivered to the saints? That word contend is pretty strong. It means go to God with utter abandonment. Go to God with a made-up mind. Go to God with a faith that will not be denied. God, I have got to have that faith that was once delivered to the saints, and you're not going to tell me no, God. I'm going to keep bugging you and bothering you and pursuing you and crying out to you and seeking you and fasting and praying before you until you give me that faith that was once delivered to the saints. That's what I want you to do. And I promise you, God's not going to forget you. You remember what he said to that widow woman? Or about that widow woman, really? It was about her. He said, shall not the Lord avenge his elect that cry day and night unto him? Shall not the Lord avenge his elect? Are you one of the elect? What is an elect? That's a person who has given their all to Jesus. That's a person who has been saved and sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost and fire. That's a person who's on fire. A person who's on fire. If all you've done is got saved and satisfied, you're not one of them. I'm going to tell you right now, you may be saved and satisfied, but you sure aren't going to be mightily used of God until you move beyond getting saved. The Bible makes it plain that we as babes are earnestly contend for the faith. We ought to live in that word day and night, searching the things of God. And he will do things for you that are breathtakingly wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Well, let me move on here. I got to go to Hebrews. I mean, Hebrews is one of those great books of faith. Wow, I love Hebrews 11. Have you ever read Hebrews 11 several times in a row? Hebrews 11, I go there, and let me read you something. What is faith? What is faith? Does anybody know what faith is? Oh, it's not just some, you know, little wimpy kind of belief system. It's not some little wimpy kind of, I believe, I think so. I'm not really sure, but I think so. Well, I believe in him, but I don't believe he can do that. Well, I can believe that he can, but I don't believe he will. You know, I mean, there's so much unbelief in the church until I'm overwhelmed by it. But listen, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Now, faith is the substance. You know what the substance of something is, don't you? The substance of bread is flour and lard. We don't call it lard anymore. We call it shortening or Crisco. Flour and Crisco and what else you put in it? If you got separizing flour, that's all you need, I think, is the flour and the Crisco and a little buttermilk. Makes it better. You can use canned milk or regular milk, but buttermilk makes it mama's kind of biscuits, you know. That's the substance of biscuits. So he said that faith is the substance of that. Wait a minute, let me read it right. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is actually the thing you're hoping for in your hands, and you're claiming it, and you doubt it not, and that's the kind of faith that gets answered. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence. Now, I'm reading from the Bible. It is the evidence of things not seen. It's evident. You don't see it, but you have the evidence. You don't see it, but you know it's going to be yours. You don't see it, but you know it's you know you can possess it. Kind of like my sweetheart wife, Juanita. She was my darling. She loved me with all her heart. I loved her with all my heart. We never talked about divorce. We never talked about separation. There was never one iota between us. Never. She's the only woman I've ever kissed in my born days. 83 years now and an extra month or so. I'm not kidding you. Only. And I had total confidence in her. I never worried about her allowing another man to touch her. I never worried about her being unfaithful to me. I believed in her in totality. I claimed her in totality. She was mine utterly. I had complete faith in her. Now, that's what I'm talking about. The kind of faith in God, in the things of God, that you claim them and possess them just like I had my wife and faith in her. But faith in God is bigger and greater. You know, faith is almost supernatural by itself. When you think of the faith which comes from Christ and gets a hold of you inside, I mean possesses you, until you have God's faith in you, it is almost like the thing you're looking for. I mean, you're going to have miracles when you get that kind of faith. You're going to have breakthroughs when you get that kind of faith. That's the faith once delivered to the saints. Are you listening to me? That's the faith once delivered to the saints. And it's real. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, let me go a little further. Go down to verse 6, and it says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." You diligently seek God, and your faith will get bigger. Faith is like a muscle. You got to use it to get anything out of it. If you let that arm hang down and you don't use it for 6 months, then you try to raise it up and project that muscle. That muscle will die. You got to exercise that muscle. You got to keep it moving. Are you understanding? That's what faith is. If you don't live by faith, it dies slowly, slowly. Most of you out there, you don't live by faith. Everything you do because you can do them, they can do them, she can do them. You can get it there. You don't need to live by faith because you got a credit card. You know how that is? Used to be we got hungry. We didn't have a credit card. There was no local grocery store that you could go on credit. And so if you didn't have anything to eat, you had to pray. And how many times did I see the miracles of God when Mama and I started out 63 years ago now preaching, pastoring, and we needed a miracle? I never forget a man driving up in the car from the front yard. He's come from 50 miles. He said, "God woke me up this morning, told me to bring y'all some groceries." And I said, "Thank you, sir. You're God's answer to prayer." You know, and I cannot tell you how many stories have I read of people sitting down to eat and asking the blessing without a thing on the table. They'd thank God for the food, and they'd pray and believe God. And while they're praying, there's a knock on the door. And somebody's got food out in the front yard. And here they come, answering prayer. You say, "I don't believe in that kind of faith." That's because you've never tried it. And you've never experienced it. Once you experience it, I can tell you, you can believe it. I've headed out for a revival when I was evangelizing with tires that were not only slick, but they had bubbles on them. You can see the threads. Never forget going all the way from Charlotte to Wilmington for a revival. I've been in the summer, they had a summer educational program. I'm trying to call it now, I can't say it. But I've been in the program studying, I believe, 4 weeks. And so I head for a revival down in Wilmington, North Carolina. I look at my tires and I said, Mama, you got to pray, baby. We got to pray. And we headed out with those tires, pulling a house trailer 30 feet long, and headed for Wilmington. And we made it. We made it. We didn't even have enough gas to get there. And we still got there. Without getting the gas, because we didn't have no money to buy no gas. You say, "You don't believe that." Well, you better believe I'm telling you what I experienced. I know how real God is. God is just as real as you'll let him be. God is just as real as you'll let him be. I was sick 3 months this winter, three of the worst months of my life. I'm sitting here healed. Did I go to the doctor? No, everybody was looking at me like I was crazy. "What's wrong with you?" "I don't know what's wrong with me." "Well, why don't you go find out?" I said, "I don't want to find out. They'll probably write my death warrant, sick as I am." And so I just kept on trusting. And the healer showed up. I said, the healer showed up. And he did. Friend, I'm telling you, you can have faith for miracles. And I want you to have faith for miracles. I want you to believe in miracles. I want God to pour his faith on you. And it's available. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. Now, I got to go back to James. Hey, time's giving out on me, and I'm sorry. I'm having such a good time. You say, Brother Chambers, you're crazy. Yep, I am, but I sure am glad I am. I'm glad I don't have the kind of sense these educated folks got. I'd be in the same shape they're in. I'd rather have the kind that you just believe the Bible. You just believe the Bible. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And the Lord shall raise him up. Did you hear that? And the Lord shall raise him up. If he have committed sin, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another. Pray one for another, that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now, I want to make sure that's the last thing you hear today. I may have to repeat it several times. The effectual. Now, you know what I mean by effectual? That means it's a meaningful way to pray. It isn't somebody just talking mush. It isn't somebody just half asleep. Isn't somebody who only praying because your preacher told you got to pray. This is talking about a man who is on fire for God. The effectual, and then it says fervent. That fervent means red hot. The fervent, effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. Not somebody that lives careless and worldly and always caught up in themselves. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Are you hearing me? Now listen to Elijah. Elijah was a man subject to like passion as we are. I mean, we humans. You're never going to be anything but human until you're glorified. Did you know that? You're not going to be some super duper somebody. You're just going to be an ordinary human person. But your devotion to God is what makes the difference. Your total surrender to God is what makes the difference. You pour yourself out. You become his utterly. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are, yet he prayed earnestly that it should not rain, and it rained not on the earth for a space of 3 years and 6 months. I mean, that's the kind of praying that works. And he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain. Remember when he prayed? Kept on praying. The man went and looked for a cloud, and the seventh time he saw a cloud about the size of a man's hand. And you know what Elijah said? I hear the sound of abundance of rain. I'm believing God in just that way. And I hear the sounds. I hear the sounds of abundance of rain. Charlotte, North Carolina, get ready for God's visitation. Charlotte, North Carolina, get ready for God's visitation. We're praying for the faith once delivered to the saints, and we believe that God's going to give it, and we believe that God's going to pour out his presence upon us, and we believe in people all over the face of this earth that anywhere you are, we're here, and get on your knees, and we'll start believing and seeing the glory of God. I love it. He prayed again. The heavens gave rain. Now, I love it. I got to go back and get one verse here that's so very important. You got to hear this one, that I will come back to that. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave driven with the wind and tossed. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. If you pray with a waving faith, you're just waving around. I heard so much mush in prayer. God can do it, but I'm not sure I believe he will. You know, that kind of stuff. The Bible says, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Hey, I love you. I love you out there. Please don't be mad at me. I'm not hollering at you. I'm not preaching at nobody. I'm just preaching to all of us. I'm crying out for a Holy Ghost awakening. I have no doubt it's coming. I feel it all over me. I feel it running up and down my spine every time I get in that sanctuary in the mornings and start crying out to God. I thank him for the tears running down my cheeks for a lost world out there. There's a multitude going to hell without hope. There's a multitude going to hell without hope. I got time for one call, but not for one. Hey, if you pray, you can have miracles. How many of you need miracles? How many of you need miracles? How many of you want a life full of miracles? How many want to see the glory and the power, the majesty of Almighty God? I'm praying for you. I love you. I care about you. I'm not here to play games. Now, I want you in there in the morning. I got the door open because I want you to see inside the sanctuary. Let me see if I can see a little more. What's in there? There's a little more. I want you in there with me in the morning, okay? I want you in there with me in the morning. I want you to see the power of God. I want you to get healed. I want you to get saved. If you're not saved, I want you to get sanctified, cleaned up from this world, full of the Holy Spirit. I'm praying for God to give us an awakening, and I'd love to have you. And I'm preaching on running because the Christ is risen. Running because the Christ is risen. Hey, that's a good reason to run. Did you know that? I'm trusting now. Remember, I'm preaching on the main street tonight, 7 o'clock. I would love to have a bunch of you up there. I really would. Praying for Charlotte. Charlotte needs desperately an awakening. I mean, we're just becoming more liberal and more horribly affected by liberalism and doubt and hatred for Christ and the Bible. Oh, let's have a awakening. Are you with me? Are you willing to help me? Are you willing to get right in the middle of this with Brother Chambers? And let's have a move of God like we have never seen. I love you. Now, I want to read that verse. I told you I was going to go back to that verse. I want to make sure the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. A woman. Understand, that man, that use of man there is generic. It means men or women. The effectual, fervent prayer of men and women availeth much. Availeth much. Nothing like a praying woman. I mean, I tell you. You get a mother who's got lost children, and she begins to weep and sob and wait before God and pray, stay on her face. I'm telling you, I'll never forget about a woman, and this literally happened. Her son became a homosexual, and he came to visit her, and she had made a promise. She'd do her best to say nothing about his homosexuality, and she kept it until the day he was leaving, and she broke loose sobbing and said, "Son, I can't let you go to hell. I got to tell you what you're doing is sinful and wrong." He left angry, got on a bus, and headed out west, and she went, closed her bedroom door and said, "Don't bother me. I'll come out of here when I hear from God." About 3 days later, the phone rang, and her son had got off the bus out in some area that was unknown to humankind, except there was a church there with the lights on. And God had sent a preacher to wait on that church for this man. And he'd gone in and got right with God and called Mama to say, "Mama, I just got saved. I just got, I want to tell you something, folks. We've got a world of people that need to be converted. They need to come to Christ. I've got to have you under the burden of God's grace. I've got to have you under the burden of God's grace. And I got to get the next song here. I want to bless you. I really do. Jesus is coming and I'm leaving. Did you hear me? Jesus is coming and I'm leaving. Please, I pray for revival before I leave here. I don't want to go until there's a Holy Ghost revival. I really don't. I want a Holy Ghost awakening. I want a move of God that shakes this city. Are you joining with me? Be with me in the morning. Be with me tonight. I love you. I love you. I promise I love you. And Jesus is coming. I'm trying to get this thing singing. I love you. I love you. I said I love you. See you in the morning. 11 o'clock.
Enslaved by the world and my greed. Oh, but then the door of the prison was opened by love, for the ransom was paid, I was free. Oh, I'm free from the fear of tomorrow. I'm free from the guilt of my past.
I pray.
God save. God save. Song. I'm free. Praise the Lord. Free at last. Oh, I'm free from Jesus.
He'll set you free.
He made
yes, I promise
me
you.
Complete.
He'll do it with joy.
And he forgot how foolish I used to be.
Complete, stand
he
up and sing.
Forgot
he forgot
how foolish I
used to be.